Multiple choice question. Who invented jazz? A. Louis Armstrong. B. Buddy Bolden. C. Nick LaRocca. Or D. All of the above? The question, the answer to which is arguably D, all of the above, and then some, has challenged scholars and aficionados ever since the strains of jazz first floated up from the unquestioned place of its birth, New Orleans. Even so, there was one person who never doubted who gave birth to the greatest export America ever produced, Jelly Roll Morton. And whom did he credit? Well, Jelly Roll Morton.
Ah, hello, Sentinel, give me Dr. Jam. He's got what I need, I say, has. Oh, when the world goes round and God does bless, he's the man that made me get out of both my family.
Born Ferdinand Morton to a well-to-do Creole family, Jelly Roll spent much of his career bragging that he was the progenitor of jazz. For his hubris, he paid a high price, and that was the subject of a remarkable Broadway musical, Jelly's Last Jam.
Starring Gregory Hines, Tanya Pinkin, Xavier Glover, and Keith David, this Tony Award-winning exploration of the life, story, and songs of the great Jelly Roll Morton played for many hundreds of performances and gave birth to a dazzling original cast recording produced by my friend Tom Z. Shepherd. I'm Julian Fleischer.
And I'm Tom Shepherd.
And this is, for the record, Jelly's Last Jam.
Hands. Come on now on your feet and swing with the roll. Feel that rhythm ripping through you right down to your soul. So spread the word wherever you may go. You've seen the light tonight, now you know. Blaze his name across the sky, flaming letters 10 feet high. J.R. Morton, Dr. Jazz.
Tom, I have to admit, as we get started, that this is a show that's very close to my heart. I was invited by a friend in the cast to see some of the original backers auditions, and I followed its progress from early rehearsals right up through opening night, and then saw the show many times when it was on Broadway, and it's always been one of my favorite nights in the theater. And so I'm very excited to get to talk to you about this recording.
It's a pleasure to be here.
The plot here is simple, and it's one we've seen a lot in movies and on stage, where a great artist who has sacrificed much of his personal life to pursue his genius is made to account for those choices in his life. Here we have Keith David as the Angel of Death hanging out with Gregory Hines as Jelly Roll Morton, being asked to look back on his life and account for his choices.
And this Angel of Death is not necessarily a wonderful, comforting figure. In fact, he challenges Jelly all the way. He won't let him get away with a thing.
And in this first song that we're going to listen to,
Jelly is defending himself. I mean, he has to respond to the challenges of the Angel of Death, who keeps reminding him of his faults and his flaws. But Jelly is out to show that what he did and when he did it was really pretty terrific.
This is In My Day from Jelly's Last Jam.
Well, 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 will you look who just now up and died? Could it be Mr. Jelly Roll? Welcome, Jelly, to the other side. Time to tell your tale and save your soul. It's the now or never, evermore end of the line. And from this moment on, Jelly, your ass is mine.
Jelly, my man, remember the time in that club just outside of Chicago?
Remember all of them diamonds you had?
All them suits you had?
All them women you had?
Well, you ought to know he had you twice.
Oh, yes, right.
Shoot you. I remember it all. I'm telling you, in my day, this man was made of money.
Come on, Jelly, tell him.
You know it, yeah, in my day. These hands were dripping the honey. I'd flash him that savoir faire and toss them a smile.
A diamond-studded smile.
What your folks call style. I used to call the high tone the who's that, the high you learn to use that. In my day, this man came up with us. Then one night, it gets to feeling too still. Then one night, you feel a sharp little chill. And there's this
darkness in the air.
Coming closer till it's everywhere.
Coming to steal my story. Bury my name, deny my glory. Coming to blow out my light. Tonight, tonight,
tonight. There are so many tales
left untold,
so many truths
locked inside a lie.
But tonight is your night, Jelly, to relive and recreate that which was.
Introducing the blueprint for perfection, Ferdinand the Mint Mott.
That was In My Day, from Jelly's Last Jam, the recording produced by my friend Tom Shepard. And that pretty much sets up what's about to happen. Jelly Roll is about to have to live through his own life all over again.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a Christmas carol. He's going to trace all the steps of his life that brought him personal satisfaction, perhaps, but also doomed him to a rather nasty end.
Listening to some of those lyrics, I'm actually reminded of a theme that comes up repeatedly in Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda's masterpiece that's currently on Broadway, where they're often saying, they're asking the question, who lives, who dies, who tells your story? And in this case, Jelly Roll would have us believe one thing, whereas the truth is something altogether very different. And this show is about those two ideas colliding.
Yes, and that's how we learn so much about Jelly, because we know what it is he does not want to be revealed.
And many of the chapters from his early life include time spent with the young Jelly Roll, who is performed in this musical by a very young Xavier Glover, who even at, I don't know how old he was, 15 or 16 maybe 20, I can't remember, but he was absolutely dazzling.
He was fantastic. And also, he brings another dimension to the role in that when Jelly first begins his career as a young man, he's almost aristocratic. He's Creole, after all. He's been very well educated, but he's left home, and he's decided to create a whole different kind of life for himself. And Xavion represents, really, the more innocent Jelly, whereas Greg is the more sophisticated, the more hardened, the more toughened, and the more unpleasant Jelly.
So now let's listen to The Whole World is Waiting, in which the older Jelly teaches the younger Jelly what it's going to be like to help create jazz.
That ain't you, not the you you're gonna be. The man you wanna be is me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Ready or not, boy, you're gonna be a hot boy. The whole world is waiting to sing your song. I tell you, you want a new, a never-before sound. I'll take you to a soon-to-be-your sound. The whole world is waiting to sing your song.
But they just said to be
so forget what they told you. Come on ahead, ain't nothing to hold you. The whole world is waiting to sing your song.
We will sing the big street. We will. The whole world, the whole world.
That was The Whole World is Waiting from Jelly's Last Jam. We hear the older Jelly telling the younger Jelly what it's going to be like to become a maker of great music. Now, as often the case when stories are told on stage, events of people's lives are compressed or rewritten or somehow manipulated for dramatic effect. As far as Jelly's Last Jam is concerned, the crucial event in Jelly's young life was being kicked out of his home by his very proper grandmother. And it's a big scene in the early part of the musical where she kicks him out and he sings the song Lonely Boy.
It was interesting when he got to Lonely Boy, because I felt that with so much going on in this show, so much percussion, so many instruments, wouldn't it be interesting if just at this moment we made things really lonely and had no instruments whatsoever? And I asked Luther, I said, do you think this is something we could try without your beautiful arrangement? Could we just try it, Greg, alone? He said, yeah, I like that idea. So there's nothing to bolster Greg underneath. It's Greg as lonely as he's ever going to get on a recording. I'm very proud of this moment.
What I want our listeners to know is that before the Lonely Boy section, we hear the banishment by his grandmother, who is disgusted with his behavior and sends him from the home, banishing him effectively from his own family.
And it was around about now that I invented jazz.
And it came to pass that a messenger was called who came to believe that the message was him. For you see, what Jelly left out of his revisionist reverie is la vérité. That's French for the boy be telling lies. After his mama was no more, Jelly and his sisters were raised by Gros Mimi, n'est-ce pas, Jelly?
This never happened.
And once she found out about you jamming with them niggers and messing with them whores...
Get away, boy. Won't you away from my door? Get away, boy. Won't you away from my door? Staying out late at night. I know you've been sneaking home before it's light. Coming back here smelling of all that's low. Oh, thanks, I don't want to know.
So bad inside, lost whatever kind of loving he's known. Lonely boy, he hurting so bad inside. From now on, gonna feel so alone. Alone, alone.
That was The Banishment and Lonely Boy from Jelly's Last Jam. And so what you're telling me is that during his performance, the director and writer George C. Wolfe is with him.
Yes, because this is the one and only time Greg performed it without any accompaniment. And George led him through it. One take, and it was beautiful.
One of the things I love most about Jelly's Last Jam is how it used tap to tell the story. Now, tap dancing, obviously, is not new to the Broadway musical. There have been tap numbers for time immemorial, but one thing that this show attempted to do was to use it as a storytelling technique to help advance the plot and to deepen what we know about the characters. It was a real sort of sophisticated use of tap as far as Broadway was concerned, or at least as far as I was aware at the time. And the big explosive tap number is called That's How You Jazz, when Jelly Roll finds himself in a tavern with a piano and he teaches the assembled there what he believes is the essence of jazz.
I think it's also interesting that they were able to create a show in which Jelly was played by a dancer, not by a pianist.
Yes.
And somehow we buy it. We accept it.
We do buy it. And that's a very, very good point. Actually, I recall that when he plays the piano in this number, he's behind it. It's an upright and you can't see his hands. But he does this wonderful movement that makes it really look like he's back there playing it. There's some visual jokes worked into it. And you can see just how clever Gregory Hines is at making us believe he's playing the piano. So this is That's How You Jazz.
This dive ain't Chicago. Where's Bathsheba?
Well, now, Jack, before we hit the big time, just want to make sure I still got the touch. I'll show you how to play like folks down Nolan's way. Show you the stylish fingers they have. Ooh, what a noise they make. Stomp till the windows shake. Start mixing, come on and get your licks in. Ooh, 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 that's how you jazz. Now, in order to get going, what I likes to call Sweet Papa Jelly's jazz, I need a low-down foundation. Can you help me?
Boom, boom.
That's it.
Boom, boom,
foot in your ass.
Boom, boom.
Good.
Boom, boom.
Can I get some syncopation? That's it. How about some bluesy variation? I like it. Y'all can hear the melody. That's it. That's it.
That's how you jazz from Jelly's Last Jam. It's sort of an elementary primer for folks not exactly acquainted with what jazz is, which is so much about rhythm. Tell me why you love recording taps so much.
I do love recording taps, and I've taken advantage of it every chance I could get. I did it in Dames at Sea. I made sure we had taps. When we decided to do No No Nanette, I thought, wouldn't it be thrilling to have Ruby Keeler tapping on a recording? And she was a lot of fun to work with. And then, of course, there was Crazy for You, the Gershwin show, which Susan Stroman did magnificent choreography for. And it was many, many different kind of tap sounds, because in the show, sometimes they were tapping on a tin roof, sometimes on a floor, sometimes God knows where. And I wanted to make sure that on the recording, each new set of taps had a different kind of sound underneath it. I think it worked particularly well in the case of Jelly's Last Jam. You hear a lot of tapping, which is very, very clean tapping, done really beautifully. You hear it backed up by beautiful sounds.
And I should say, you know, up until this point, we're really aware of Gregory Hines as a fabulous singer. But it really isn't until this number, at least today, that we remember that he's one of the all-time great tap dancers, and his virtuosity is almost unmatched. And if it is matched, it is matched by Zevian Glover, who plays the younger version of him.
And I must say, Greg was very much in awe and admiration of Zevian.
Well, even as a kid, he was, I guess, the equivalent of a prodigy. He was actually a prodigy, and years later, I would see him again on Broadway in another production by George C. Wolfe called Bringing a Noise, Bringing a Funk, in which he really got to spread his wings, and we all just sat there dumbstruck by what he was able to do with his feet and his legs and his body. It's like unlike anything you've ever seen. He's a genius, and this was really the first time most of us had seen him. There's a lot of chapters to Jelly Roll's story as told in the musical Jelly's Last Jam, but at some point we have to get to the notion of love. And into this story strides the woman of his life, played indelibly by a woman I have to let you know is a friend of mine, the great Tanya Pinkins. And I remember seeing her, too, on Broadway when she first strode onto the stage, the power and the intelligence, the intensity, the grace, the fire of this woman was unlike anything I'd ever seen on stage. And she rightfully won the Tony for Best Actress in a Musical this year, even though later in her career she would go on to do even greater things and not win the Tony. Here is where she really staked her claim on Broadway. And here she is, Tony winner Tanya Pinkins, singing Play the Music for Me.
Piano man, you're late.
Generally, when folks first meet, they say hello.
Greeting took place 45 minutes ago. If you'd wanted to partake, you should have been here. You know, play the music for me.
I probably wrote it.
Oh, say it. Yeah, play it. Play me a midnight key. Play a smoky room. Play a he and a she.
That was Tanya Pinkins, Play the Music for Me from Jelly's Last Jam. So up until now, the show has basically been Jelly Roll telling his own story, but the Chimney Man, played by Keith David, is not having it. He is intent on serving Jelly Roll some pretty humble pie and making him own up to some of the darker chapters in his life. And as far as this show is concerned, that starts when Jelly Roll goes to New York. And as usual, he's pretty cocky, he's pretty arrogant, he thinks he's got it made wherever he goes because he really believes in his own talent. But when he hits Harlem, he hits Ellington, and things get interesting. This is Good Old New York and Too Late Daddy, produced by my friend Tom Z. Shepherd for the original cast recording of Jelly's Last Jam.
I don't need it. The one you sports can't wait to see.
Dorsal, dorsal.
If you're talking jazz, you're talking me.
Dorsal, dorsal.
Gonna turn this city.
Slap, slap, slap.
Ooh, ooh. That's how you
jazz. Yeah. You're too late, Daddy. We're singing a whole new song. It's got us jumping and swinging the whole night long.
When I'm playing every gig in town, they'll be throwing me a parade.
Honey, you better go downtown where they don't know what real music is.
Downtown.
You better go where the deals and the dollars are.
Downtown.
Meet with the cats with the hats and the fat cigars.
The name of the game is who's on top.
Tin Pan Alley.
I'm the one you've all been waiting for. I'm the best there is. There ain't no more. When it comes to jazz, the role is it. Wait, look, this tune's a hit. Couple of frills, couple of fills. Now give them a glimpse. Hey, listen to this. Oh, jelly, jelly, jelly. Oh, jelly, 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 yeah.
This is Tom Shepherd.
And this is Julian Fleischer.
And we're listening to, for the record, Jelly's Last Jam. And we just heard Good Old New York and Too Late Daddy.
It's interesting talking to you, Tom, because this record's meant a lot to me over the years. And once again, I'm facing the creator of something that's mattered to me a lot over the years.
You know nothing of my work. Thank you.
Now, I myself later would have a chance to insert myself into my own fantasy about this show when I became friendly with Tanya Pinkins through another gig that I did. At some point, I had to, like, fess up to her that I had been a great fan since the 90s when I first saw Jelly's Last Jam. I had a gig of my own coming up, and I asked her if she would sing as a special guest, and incredibly, very simply, she said yes. And I was stunned, and I said, well, do you mind if we sing Last Chance Blues together, the great duet between her and Gregory Hines from Jelly's Last Jam? And she said, sure. What's Last Chance Blues? And I said, what do you mean, what's Last Chance Blues? It's your duet from Jelly's Last Jam with Gregory Hines. You won the Tony Award for that. She's like, oh, right, right. Last Chance Blues. Yeah. How does that go? And I said, are you kidding me, Tanya Pinkins? You're the Tony winner who won the Tony doing this song on that great recording. She's like, oh, yeah, I don't remember it. Do you have a recording of it? I said, yes, I do. Of you. Singing it with Gregory Hines on the original cast recording. She's like, oh, okay, well, bring it to me. So I brought it to her at rehearsal a couple weeks later, and I have a photo of it. Actually, I took a picture of her with my earphones in her ears listening to Last Chance Blues from your recording of it. And she's looking at me, and she's got the things in her ears, and she looks up at me, and she says, "Who's that?" And I said, "Tony Winter, Tony Pinkus, that's you." She's like, it is? Oh, yeah, I don't sing like that anymore. And in fact, she did sing like that, and it was the realization of a great fantasy of mine. And over the years since then, she and I have actually done that tune a few times together, once at the Dramatist Guild Gala when they couldn't get anybody else more famous than me to do it because all the guys had gigs. And so she said to George C. Wolfe, like, "If you want someone who can do it, I got a great guy." And I got to do it with her in front of an audience. And I understand there's a YouTube video of it. I don't watch it because I look like Lee J. Cobb from The Exorcist.
I'd love to see it, actually.
Legs are getting slower, but I got nowhere to go. Money getting lower, and people are saying no. Rocking dreams and wasted bets. Now and then I see you. Talking about the last chance blue.
I would really like everyone to listen to one of the great duets from Broadway. This is the late, great Gregory Hines and the fabulous Tanya Pinkin singing Last Chance Blues.
One day the world is sitting in your sweet young hand. Then all at once you turn around and there you stand. Face you barely recognize, the little lines around the eyes, talking about the last chance blues.
Legs are getting slower, but I got nowhere to go. Money getting lower, people saying no. Broken dreams and wasted bets. Now and then a few regrets. Talk about your last chance blue.
Ain't it fun?
Ain't it great? Dressed to the nines.
And 10 years out of date.
New York Times says I'm yesterday's news. I got the last chance blues.
What if I were alone? I could lose.
I don't wanna see. The last chance blues.
That was Last Chance Blues. I'm Julian Fleischer.
And I'm Tom Shepard.
And this is, for the record, Jelly's Last Jam. Tom, what are you remembering sitting here listening to this?
There was a lot of excitement in the studio that day. There was a lot of electricity. We knew that this was terrific material. It was terribly important that the essence of the show, that the energy of the show, that whatever the word is, the zeitgeist. But it was all part of painting a picture of a particular kind of life, a kind of existence in New Orleans, in Chicago, in New York. Mm-hmm. And I hope very much that we captured that.
Turning the corner. The show, if I remember correctly, if it had any weaknesses as an evening of entertainment, it's that it allowed its story to get so dark towards the end. The show doesn't have a big sort of winning end. There isn't a triumph waiting for Jelly Roll at the end.
Well, you have to admire that, Julian. I mean, they could have gone for the 11 o'clock number, but instead they stayed true to their intention. They stayed true to tracing the arc of Jelly's life, you know, from rebellious child to extraordinary success to almost has-been, and then...
A rough ending for Jelly.
Yep, it sure was.
And his life is essentially recapped in quick succession towards the end of the show in a number called Last Rites, and then he has his own essential sort of come to Jesus moment, if you will, his reckoning with the song Creole Boy. And there's almost shades of a Christmas carol, you know, where Scrooge has, towards the end of the story, seen enough, and the ghost of Christmas future has finally put the fear of God in him, and he has to confront who he really is. And there's something similar, I think, here. The Chimney Man has rerun his life very quickly, like on fast forward in front of him in this last number, and in Creole Boy, he confronts the truth.
That's absolutely true. Jelly has to look at all of what he did in his life, the goodness, the badness, the sins, his lack of consideration for his friends, his losing friends. And finally, it's just Jelly with Jelly, and then he dies.
Well, as is often the case with your recordings, as I've come to learn talking with you all this time, there's a very cinematic quality to what we're about to hear. There's a lot of crossfades, a lot of voices moving, a lot of storytelling going on in a very sort of broad scope way, and very exciting to listen to. That having been said, let's listen to Last Rites and Creole Boy from the last part of the last act of Jelly's Last Jam. If you're just joining us, then you're pretty late to the game. We have just been listening to many of the tracks from Jelly's Last Jam, the original cast recording produced by my friend Tom Z. Shepherd, whom I happen to have right here.
Nice to see you again, Julian.
This was, as always, a pleasure to get to talk down the creation of a recording like this, one that in this particular case has meant a lot to me over the years. We're going to finish up by listening to the finale from the show, which, like the story, has some ambivalence built into it. It's not your typical conventional Broadway finale, which ends on a high note. It's a little haunting.
It is haunting, Julian, and I think that was built into the show, and I just tried to make the most of it. It ends with just a small lick played over and over again, almost like a stopped recording, which keeps repeating and repeating.
Mm-hmm. Like a broken record.
Exactly. And so I asked, I think it was Luther at that point, who was at the keyboard, just keep playing, just play and play and play, and we'll make it more and more wet, more and more echoey, that is, and softer and softer, and at some point, it's hard to know exactly where, it will have stopped. And that's how we end the album.
You're about to hear the finale of Jelly's Last Jam and the end of our show. For the Record is a production of WNYC, WQXR, and the Jonathan Channel. Our show is produced by Ellie Smerling and executive produced by Michael Shobe. I'm Julian Fleischer, and you're...
Tom Shepard.
Thank you, Tom, for being here today and for producing the original Broadway cast recording of Jelly's Last Jam.
We are the rhythms that color your soul.
You are my soul.
The pain that makes the melody.
Armstrong. Go forth, Ellington. Go forth, Basie, Bolden, and Bichet. Go forth, Morton.